This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Entek. Shelter Home was founded in 1981 to rescue children who are at risk, neglected, abandoned, or abused. All this work requires resources, and Shelter's general manager, Ng Yeok Bee, is here to tell me about the challenges of providing for the kids under her care. Also here to tell her story is Jia Hui, an ex-resident who arrived at Shelter when she was 8 years old and is now attending college. They're both involved with an upcoming charity climb to fundraise for the education of children at Shelter. Ms. Ng, Jia Hui, welcome.
Yes.
So, Ms. Ng, can I start with you with telling me the story of Shelter and how it was founded all those years ago, almost 40 years now?
Sure. In 1981, seven men found three homeless boys sleeping in the corridors of a cinema in PJ Selangor. The plight of these homeless boys touched the men so much that they decided to rent a house to shelter them. That is how Shelter got started.
And how did the work evolve?
The work evolved from looking after homeless children into today for neglected children, which covers the neglected, abandoned and abused group. So there has been a very big evolution in the care of children.
And who were the individuals at the time who saw the kids?
One of them was James Nyagam.
Right. He's been on the show a few times. So almost 40 years later, how did it start? Was it the same premises that today?
No, it was quite different. It was in Kajang.
Mm-hmm. And Jia Hui, can you tell me about a little bit of your family history and how you arrived at Shelter?
My mother was sick, so she knows that she couldn't look after me if she's not around, so she put me in the home. And when I first arrived in Shelter, I remember that I was crying. Yeah, I think that's what every kid will do. And then a home manager at that time, he brought me out to distract me by buying me fighting fish.
Was it easy to make friends there because you were there very young?
No, because we do everything together. So there was no problem making friends with. Even if you are those introverted kind or don't make the first move, they will come and make friends with you lah.
Do you remember your earliest memory of Shelter? Besides crying when you got there?
The first memory was the bell. You know, everything you do, they will ring the bell to ask you gather. So it was something new to me. That's my earliest memory of Shelter.
Ms. Ng, is Jia Hui's story typical of how kids arrive at Shelter today?
A little bit more than that, because nowadays we have children coming from the court or the police bring them in. Hers was a case of coming in directly from the community. We still have that today.
Community.
Yes.
Right. Courts and cops, how do they send the kids to you?
They actually have court case, and then the children needs to go to a home, and the court will choose a home, and we are one of those homes that they have chosen. So they'll inform us and we'll pick up the children.
Right.
And there's a process after that. We'll register with the Ministry of Welfare.
And is there capacity for Shelter to take on more kids? Like, how often does something like a case like this happen?
Approximately, at the current history, it's about 2 per year.
And that's just a tiny number of the overall case, isn't it?
Yes, for the current situation.
Mm-hmm. So do you find yourself having to turn away kids sometime when you don't have the resources to maybe take on more?
Throughout the entire history, we have never turned away children. We have managed being able to accept all those that have come to us.
Right. So right now you manage 40 kids in three homes, aged between 4 and 18. How old are they in these three homes?
The first home is 4 to 12, where both the sexes, girls and boys, are there. And as they grow older at puberty, then we split them into homes for teenage girls and home for teenage boys.
Right.
That would be 13 to 18.
Mm-hmm. So it's not 40 in each of these three homes, it's 40 in total?
Yes, in totality.
Okay. So what's a typical day like for the kids at Shelter? Is there such a thing?
They normally get ready for school, and then when they return from school, they have activities. They have their tuition, if some of them needs them. If not, then they study on their own. And they also have fun activities arranged for them by the home managers. And sometimes during the weekend, we arrange events from the community, either individuals or corporate personnel who want to see the children.
Jia Hui, how do you spend your days at Shelters?
When I was in Shelter, I go to school in the morning, come back, and then do some revision, and then we do some fellowship with our friends, housemates. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we, like, during tea time, we would share our days in school. Like, what was our day like in school? Mm.
And what were some of the activities on the weekends, like, outside of school that you would do?
Like what Auntie GV said, we have people coming in from the community to do activities with us. Like, sometimes they do teaching, painting, and then piano lesson, music lesson. And then they also invited banks to teach us how to manage our finance. Yeah. Yeah.
So I mentioned the charity climb earlier in the introduction. That shelter is organizing this charity climb to raise 200,000. Why a climb?
Because we feel that our children face challenges in their life, and that would be seen as the climbers scale the heights of Mount Kinabalu. They will also be facing challenges.
Is this the first such charity climb that you are organizing?
No, this program has been around for quite some time, for about 10 years.
Yeah. Is it always Kinabalu?
Yes.
Okay. And why 200,000?
That's our target, and because education cost is rising, so that would be helpful towards our education fund for the children.
This education fund, is it for tuition? Is it for college?
Is for tuition for our current children, as well as for colleges, universities, as well as skill sets colleges.
Because I was reading on your website that it costs shelter almost 150,000 a month to operate, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. How is shelter funded typically for its day-to-day operation?
Typically, we're funded from individuals and corporates.
Has it ever been a problem to raise funds?
I wouldn't say it's a problem. I would say sometimes it can be a challenge, but we always manage to cover our costs.
And Jiahui, why are you doing the climb?
Because, like what Auntie GB said again, education is not cheap. It's expensive. And education is not only about doing well academically in school, but it's also life skills. So I want to raise this 100K for the benefit of my junior in the home, because even now, I'm in college actually now, they are helping me with my allowance and also accommodation outside.
Meaning shelter?
Yeah, shelter. Because shelter helped me to look for scholarships, so they're helping me with allowance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do shelter help the kids up to college age and until they are able to find work and live independently?
Yes.
Yes. I'm speaking today to Ng Yong Bee and Jiahui about Shelter Home. We'll talk more about Jiahui's education journey after this short break. You're listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. My guests today are Ng Yong Bee, who manages Shelter Home, and Jiahui, who is an ex-resident. So, Jiahui, you talked a little bit about why you wanted to contribute back to, or give back rather, to the kids at Shelter, because they provided for you in terms of your development as well as education. And I was wondering, when did you, because you were at Shelter at a very young age, when did you start taking education seriously?
When I was very, very young. Because my mom never had the opportunity to study, because her dad passed away when she was very young. So she had to work very, very hard just to get the average wages that normal office workers get. So she already instilled in me that education is very important, and with education and knowledge, at least we are one step closer to becoming someone successful in life. Mm. And also, after coming to Shelter, there was this manager, he made education very fun. He will make things like Malay English vocabulary. If you get to complete the whole set, you are rewarded with tiny gifts like assam,
right.
Sweet chewing gum. Yeah.
Okay. So, Ms. Ng, if every kid is like Jiahui, that would be amazing, isn't it? Who already interested in education and would take the initiative to study. But is every kid as academically inclined as Jiahui at Shelter?
Not all of them are academically inclined, but for those who are not, we try to encourage them towards skill set like baking or culinary skills. Because like in any regular community, even in our own homes, not all our children are academically inclined. There'll be some who are more technically minded.
So how do you help them once they have to transition out of Shelter? What kind of support can you give to them?
We will identify, for those who are academically inclined, we will make arrangements for college or university education. For those who are not so academically inclined, then the skills gaps education will be introduced to them, whether they would like to pick up bakery, culinary skills, or hairdressing.
And Jiahui, you get to pick the college of your choice and the course of your choice, isn't it? What are you studying now?
Now I'm studying Media, Culture and Communication degree program. When I was in diploma, I didn't get to choose. I just take whatever college that offers scholarships. So I took my diploma in KBU. I got a full scholarship and also some organization, Alina Cook Alumni Fund Foundation. Yeah, they gave me allowance and also accommodation.
Right. And why Media, Culture?
It's a degree program. I wanted to do marketing, but they don't have, so I just take this and then major in PR.
Okay. Just to go back a little bit to your time at school, so you felt it was easy to make friends at Shelter. Was it easy to make friends at school as well?
Yes, it was easy to make friends in school because the children are generally nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just that there are a few cases where children from other schools, not my school, but other schools who we share the same bus with, they say nasty things to us when the bus drops us off in front of the home. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think you shared this story on an article on Shelter as well. Mm. How do you cope with that? When did you realize that you were made to feel different?
Ever since I entered the home. And then because other children also, like in the bus, sometimes they are shy. You know, when the bus drop us, they will run to the home street. So I just follow them. And then eventually I get to know that I know why they do that, because other children bully us.
And did the bullying ever stop?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Ng, so I guess these are recurring issues that you have to deal with. How did you help kids deal with this problem of bullying and stigma because of their circumstances in life?
Primarily what we look at is for them to be healed from the inside so that they become stronger people and they can cope with their problems. So we organize counseling and therapy session for them to help with the building up process and the healing of the process of all their hurts.
Sometimes they might not tell you that they're hurting on the inside. How do you tell if they are hurting?
We have trained counselors in a home. We also have home managers that are very close to the children. Technically, I'm more of an administrator. I visit the homes, so we organize for people like the home managers to be in charge of the home, to know the children. And we also have day caregivers daily dealing with them, like parents, pseudo-parents, so they understand the children. And if there's something that they spot, they inform the home managers, and that's when we move into counselling and therapy when necessary.
Can you maybe elaborate on this pseudo-parents? How does it work?
For instance, let us say, if we have a child that tends to take things from other people over a period of time, you know your parents would observe that from the home. So in these homes, we do not have the biological parents. So we have caregivers who observe that pattern, and they'll inform the home managers, and there'll be an evaluation done to see that's whether just a child's naughtiness or to get a little bit more attention because they have something that is troubling them. Or it could be a situation that needs a little bit more attention.
Do the kids from Shelter ever get adopted?
No.
No.
Because they do have parents.
Right.
So we cannot bypass their parents.
Okay.
We do have fostering, not like the standard fostering that people understand. They can come and visit the children, but we do not encourage the children being brought home because these children are very special. They come from backgrounds that are quite disturbed. So the average family may not be able to cope. So if we allow that situation, then the children actually get more damaged.
Right. And how does fostering work?
They come to the home to visit them on their birthdays or Hari Raya or Chinese New Year. And we let the foster parents know about the progress of the child and we send them photographs. The contact with the parents are lesser than your usual programs of fostering because of the background of the children.
Jiahui, did you have maybe any role models you could look up to, someone, an adult figure, when you were growing up?
Uncle Hong Jin, one of the manager. I don't know whether he's the role model or not. I find him to be very wise.
So he's the person you go to repeatedly for advice if you need anything?
Or yes, even until now.
Yeah. How did you handle the transition away from shelter? Because you have to leave shelter at 18, is it?
Oh, yes. Shelter already prepared me before going out. Like when I was in shelter one for kids, everything is done for because you're young. But when I enter to shelter two, which is a teenage home, teenage girls' home, they teach us how to be independent. Like we learn how to cook, do our own chores, wash clothes. So when I was discharged from shelter, I already know how to do simple cooking, wash my own clothes, and know how to live an adult life.
How did you feel the day you have to leave shelter?
I feel okay, excited lah, because it's another chapter of my life.
Yeah, you get to live on your own and be an adult, right?
Yes.
Do you know what your plans would be after college?
Right now, I'm not so sure. Initially, I thought I want to work in a hotel because in the future, I want to work on a cruise. And in order to work on a cruise, you need to have experience in a hospitality line, service line. And my biggest, my ultimate dream is to own a cruise ship. Okay. But right now, me and my friends, we just discovered, we came up with an idea, business idea, which is doing cold brew coffee. Yeah, so if that picks up, if that business become big, then I don't have to work on a cruise. I can just go on a vacation on a cruise itself.
Or have a cold brew coffee on a cruise?
Yeah, I can.
Ms. Ng.
Yes.
Would you have a final word on how you like the public to help with the charity climb and beyond as well?
Yes, we would value so much support from the community. Like mentioned, we look forward to having financial support for our charity climb. There are other ways as well, such as sponsor a child. The public can partner with us in sponsoring a child program. That is 600 ringgit per month. But sponsors do not necessarily have to take the whole sum, especially for individuals, as long as it's a constant figure on a monthly basis. Yeah? And the public can also provide scholarships, like she's on a scholarship. People can pay for their tuition fees in colleges or their living allowance, which we provide. We also have sponsors providing for that. And some sponsors may want to help us with providing sports and amenities and swimming facilities because we have teenagers, you know, 13 to 18, and they have plenty of energy to burn. And they're most happy when they have guests coming in to take them out for sports or play football with them inside our ground ourselves. And they can also like our Facebook. That will help us to be in the picture of the community. Also, for those who are not able to help us directly, I'm sure they do have contacts that may be able to help us. So if they can share that contact, we would really appreciate it. We also welcome support from businesses, corporate, and the individuals on a monthly basis that will be helpful for us to be certain of a certain financial income for the month. Naturally, all these are also tax-exempted. Perhaps people who are interested could give us a call. The number to call is 03-7955-0663.
Thank you. Thank you, Misun. Thank you, Jahui. The Shelter Charity Climb 2017 will take place from July 28 to August 1st. For more information, you can visit www.shelterhome.org. You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.